Hi, everyone. Pastor David here again. Thank you for joining us this morning for Appleton Gospel Church's Worship Online. I just want to say a big thank you to Holly and our kids for helping out with worship music this week. That was just something that was really fun for us to do together as a family. Also, this is Memorial Day weekend, and I'm just very thankful and very grateful for the sacrifice of the men and the women who have given their lives in serving us, in serving through our military to protect and defend our nation. To start with, I just have two quick things for you. First, since the safer at home orders have been lifted in the state of Wisconsin, we've been discussing and planning how and when to start in-person services again. I've been in contact with other pastors locally and around the EFCA. I've also been in contact with the local health officer of the city of Appleton. And there are many things to consider besides the legality of meeting as a church, such as the safety of our people, our cleaning and disinfecting practices in our building, our witness in the broader community, and also the quality of our ministry during this transitional time. You need to know that as Christians, our plans will be guided by love, our love for God, our love for one another, and our love for our neighbor. So we will be providing more details shortly, but in the meantime, today, I'd like to ask you to do two things. Number one, please pray for wisdom as well as for the health and safety of our community. And number two, we've created an anonymous church survey to get your feedback on in-person meetings and how you're feeling about all of that, because we value your voice. So please, please, please fill out the survey at appletongospel.com/survey. It'll take 2 minutes of your time, and it would be very helpful for us. Okay, so the second thing I have for you this morning is that this is the fourth Sunday of the month, and that normally means that we'd be serving dinner at the Pillars Adult Homeless Shelter. But again, like last month, because of COVID-19, the Pillars Adult Shelter and Family Shelters have combined, so we're serving about 50% more people than normal. We still have just maybe one or two food items that still need to be donated. So if you're able to, please go to appletongospel.com/events to see the sign up for the dinner tonight. Again, we won't be serving the food, but we will be providing the food, which is a really good thing. And also don't forget that we're dropping off the food at the Clarion Inn Hotel on West College Avenue in Appleton at 5:30. And also, if you're worried about social distancing, you won't have to go into the hotel to drop off the food. Okay, well, last week we started a brand new sermon series called Healing a Troubled Heart. And my hope for you in this series is that this would be helpful to you in dealing with some of the very common struggles of life during these strange days. And hopefully that you will be able to grow in your ability to love the people around you better who might be struggling with these things as well. Well, last week we started with the topic of anxiety, which is so prevalent. And we learned that anxiety is a normal response to this broken world. We also learned four spiritual principles that can help direct your anxiety to God. So if you missed that message, you can always go back and watch it on our YouTube channel or listen on the audio podcast. Well, today we're focusing on the topic of loneliness, which is another common struggle for many people. But maybe over the last few months, with all of the social distancing requirements, with working from home, with staying away from loved ones, with your favorite restaurants and businesses being closed down, maybe for the first time ever, you've seen just how powerful and painful a struggle that loneliness can be. Now, at first, loneliness might seem like an easy problem to solve, like just go find some people, right? But isn't it strange that we can still feel so alone at times, even when we have lots of people around us all of the time, from friends to family members to neighbors to coworkers? And isn't it strange that we can have hundreds of friends on social media, but we can still feel like we're all alone? In so many ways in our culture today, we're more connected than ever before, but at the same time, we're experiencing more loneliness than ever before. How can that be? Well, actually, there are a number of issues relating to the physical and emotional and spiritual dimensions of our personalities, which all have the potential for making us feel like we're all alone, even when we're surrounded by other people. We humans are complicated creatures. But again, God knows how we are formed. He made us and He understands us. And the truth is that our loneliness points to the reality of both how we are made and to one of our greatest needs in this broken world that is addressed in the gospel of Jesus Christ. So if you have your Bible or your Bible app, please open it to Psalm 23. We're going to pray and then we're going to jump into this famous psalm together. So please pray with me. Our Father in heaven, thank you for this day. Thank you for your unconditional commitment to be with us in Christ. Would you comfort us today in our loneliness? And would you give us a sense of your presence to heal our troubled hearts today? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, Psalm 23, starting in verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is God's word. So, like Psalm 40 from last week, Psalm 23 says that this is a psalm of David. That is King David, who lived about 3,000 years ago. David was both a mighty warrior and a prolific composer who wrote many of the psalms in the Bible. And Psalm 23 is such a famous psalm because of the vivid imagery that David uses to present the character of God in relationship to him. Look back at verse 1. David writes, "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing." Now here, David uses an illustration of a shepherd and a flock of sheep. And the vocation of a shepherd would have been very familiar to David because as a young man, he worked as a shepherd in his father Jesse's fields. And David learned how to lead and feed and protect his flock from danger. He learned what it took to be a good shepherd. And here in this poem, David says that Yahweh is my shepherd. Now, last week, I explained that Yahweh is the personal name for God that God gave to his people in the context of his covenant with Israel at Mount Sinai. So every time you see the word Lord in all caps in the Bible, you know that it's translating God's personal name. And that should bring to your mind all of the works that God did for his people over countless generations. Just the name of God should serve as a reminder for the whole grand story of God's faithfulness to his people. And David says that Yahweh is my shepherd. Therefore, I can be content. I shall not want. I lack nothing. Or put it in another way, when the Lord is your shepherd, you have everything you need. Well, how does God shepherd his flock, the flock of his people? Look at verse 2. David says, "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes, he restores my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake." So if you think about the metaphor here, it's humbling because we are sheep. And sheep are not very impressive creatures. They're not known for their great intelligence. They can't defend themselves very well. They are utterly dependent on their shepherd. Otherwise, they get lost or are put in danger. So when David thinks about his relationship with God, he's like, we're a flock of sheep. We're totally dependent on God. We don't know what the right path is all of the time. Sometimes we don't know when to stop and rest. We do things that lead away from life all the time, and God gently and lovingly makes us lie down. He leads us to life. He restores our souls, and he puts us back on the right path once again. And all of that leads us to verse 4, which is really the heart of this psalm. Verse 4 says, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. I'm going to pause there. So this psalm is so rich in describing God's character and his faithfulness and his loving kindness to us, his people. And there are a lot of different directions that we could take this teaching. But today we're focusing on the issue of loneliness. And what David affirms here in verse 4 about the presence of God is absolutely true and has nuclear force for helping us deal with our struggle with loneliness. But before we address this with our relationship with God, let's back up a few steps and consider where loneliness comes from. You see, God created human beings to have a deep, life-giving relationship with himself, but also with other people. Other people who know us and love us. This is what I mean when I say that you were created for community. And this is why community is one of our core values as a church, because relationships are core to what it means to be human. But in the fall to sin and in the power of sin and death, now relationships in this broken world have become difficult and sometimes very painful. And so loneliness is a common struggle. But we still know deep within us that we were made to have these deep, life-giving relationships with other people who know us and who love us. So when we are lonely, it points us to the reality that we were made for relationships. Now, this is a strange time that we're living in right now. And even though some social distancing measures have been lifted, connecting with other people in meaningful ways in community is hard right now. But regardless of social distancing, many people have struggled with feeling lonely and feeling alone long before COVID-19. So maybe this crisis has made this struggle a little harder, but it's definitely a common struggle. It's a human struggle. Now, there are multiple causes that contribute to loneliness. And if this is a struggle for you or for one of your loved ones, I need you to get a little introspective here about what might contribute to your feelings of loneliness. There are physical causes and emotional causes and spiritual causes that all contribute or can contribute to loneliness. A physical cause that contributes to loneliness might include when you get hurt or you get an illness of some sort, and those things are keeping you isolated at home or keeping you in the hospital or are limiting your mobility in some way. Another physical cause might be if you have to travel for work and you might have to be physically away from your loved ones for a time. Now, generally speaking, these physical causes of loneliness tend to be the easiest causes to overcome, because when you recover or when you come home from your trip, there shouldn't be anything preventing you from being around people again in meaningful ways. But as a pastor, in talking with many people over the years, I've noticed that the emotional and spiritual causes that contribute to our feeling alone are much more difficult to overcome. And I've defined the type of relationship that you were created to have as deep and life-giving relationships where you are both known and loved. I believe one of the main emotional causes that contributes to loneliness is that in your relationships, either in person or on social media, you are not feeling known or really understood by other people. This is how you can still feel lonely even when you're surrounded by people, even when you have hundreds of friends on social media. There's this little voice in your heart that says, yeah, but they don't really get me. They don't really know me. In fact, social media might actually make that feeling worse for two different reasons. First, you only see what others choose to share with you, which is usually the best of what's happening in their life. And this makes sense. This is logical because almost no one wants to share the worst of their day or the most embarrassing parts of their day. And every app has filters which make everything look artificially better online. So in your normal, boring moment when you choose to scroll through your newsfeed, you feel like everyone's life is better than yours, but it's not true. And second, you choose what you share on social media with other people as well. So even if you have other people liking your stuff, it still doesn't really feel real because those people don't really see all of your life. They don't really get the real you either. And that's a very lonely feeling. Now, besides the physical and emotional causes that contribute to our loneliness, there are spiritual causes as well. What am I talking about? Well, one of the things I say all the time is that sin separates. Sin separates. When you are unfaithful to someone, or you are jealous of someone, or if you're even violent with someone, it pushes them away. But even smaller sin, even if you lie to someone, or even if you're mean to someone, even once, it still pushes them away. It certainly doesn't draw you closer into a deep, life-giving relationship, right? Well, sin drives a wedge between people in relationships. So sometimes our sin, whether we want it to or not, pushes people away. And the result is that we feel like we're all alone. And this is why I want you to be a little introspective here. If you're struggling with feeling lonely, what do you think the cause or the causes might be? Are they physical causes or emotional causes or spiritual causes perhaps or some combination of several? Understanding why you feel lonely will help you move toward healing. Next, how do we overcome these things? Well, particularly, how do we overcome the emotional and spiritual causes that contribute to loneliness? I have two words for you, two important words for you. Vulnerability and repentance. Vulnerability and repentance. If you are not feeling like you're known or really understood by the people in your life, you need to be vulnerable. You need to take a risk. You need to open up. You need to start being a little more honest with them about how you're doing. It takes strength to be vulnerable. It takes guts to be vulnerable. But the payoff potentially is huge because vulnerability is contagious. So when Holly is vulnerable and honest with me about how she's doing, it makes me want to be more vulnerable and honest with her. In return, vulnerability and repentance. So second, repentance. To repent means to have a change of heart that leads to a change in the direction of your life. It doesn't just mean that you feel sorry for your sin or feel bad about it, what you did or said. It means that you actually take ownership of your sin and actually start heading in a new direction. If you've said some things or if you've done some things to certain friends or family members or other people, and it's driven a wedge between you in your relationship with them, then you need to repent You need to apologize to them. You need to ask forgiveness of them and treat them differently going forward. And this takes humility, and this also takes the understanding that they may not want to or be ready to reconcile with you. But as the saying goes, it's never the wrong time to do the right thing. So you were made for deep, life-giving relationships where you are both known and loved, and you can know people and love them as well. But because of the power of sin, relationships are hard and sometimes require painful amounts of vulnerability and repentance to be known and to be loved. And all of this leads us back to our psalm, because David is a man of faith. And as important as our relationships are with other people, our relationship with God was always intended to be the most important relationship in life. And what brings comfort to David in the darkest valley, what gives him courage to keep going, to keep walking through the valley of the shadow of death, is not the memory or even the presence of his friends or family members or loved ones. If David had social media back then, I'm sure it wouldn't have been the number of friends or followers or likes that he had online either. Look back at verse 4. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. Why? For you, Lord, are with me. You see, it's the presence of Yahweh. It's the presence of God in the valley that drives out his fear. It's the presence of God that comforts him there and assures him that he is not alone. Now, one of the threads that runs from the beginning of the Bible to the end, one of the main themes of the scriptures, is that besides relationships with other people, you were created first and foremost to experience and enjoy and live in the presence of God. No matter where you are or what you're going through, the presence of God is the greatest spiritual resource available to you. And nothing has the power to overcome loneliness like it. When Moses was called to lead the people of God and he was afraid, it was the Lord who said, "My presence will go with you and I will give you rest." And at the end of his life, when Moses passed the leadership baton to Joshua, Moses told him, "The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged." When you are feeling alone, it is the presence of the Lord that you need most. It is the personal presence of the Holy Spirit who will make you lie down in green pastures and will give you rest. It is the Holy Spirit who will lead you beside quiet waters and who will refresh your soul. It is the presence of the Spirit of God who will lead you along the right paths, even in darkest valleys. And it is the Spirit of God who will testify with your spirit that you are God's children. In your weakness, when you do not even know what you ought to pray for, it is the Spirit himself who will intercede for you. But it is because of the Lord Jesus Christ that we can have access to the presence of God in the Spirit of God. It was because 1,000 years after the time of David, Jesus Christ was willing to be abandoned. He was willing to be betrayed by his friends and his followers as he went to the cross. And it was because on the cross that Jesus was willing to pay the price for the sins of the world and pay it alone. It was through the infinite loneliness of experiencing separation from his Father in heaven that Jesus ultimately won the victory over the power of sin and death. Jesus experienced that loneliness so that we would never finally have to be alone, so that we might be welcomed into his family by faith in him. And we might receive the Holy Spirit by faith in him. And we might believe the promise of Jesus after his resurrection from the dead when he said, "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." The truth is, our loneliness points to the reality of both how we are made and to one of our greatest needs in this broken world. But the gospel is the message of reconciliation, which means that in Christ, you never have to be alone again. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you so much for the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you that you are on a mission of reconciliation in this world. You've given us a message of reconciliation. And in Jesus, we now have the ministry of reconciliation where we can bear this message of the gospel out in the world and tell people of the resurrecting and reconciling power of Jesus. Father, I pray that first and foremost, we would be reconciled to you, that we would put our faith and trust in Christ. And in his name, we would be found as your sons and your daughters in him. And secondly, Father, I pray for healing, both in our hearts from our feelings of loneliness, of feeling alone. Maybe some are feeling abandoned and betrayed in this very moment. And Father, I pray for the healing power of your Spirit to be at work in them. And if there are some relationships, Lord, that we need to demonstrate some repentance in, we need to seek some reconciliation in, I pray that you'd give us the humility and the courage to do so. If there are other relationships, Father, where we're just not feeling known, but we haven't said anything, I pray for the strength and the courage to be vulnerable there. God, would you help our relationships grow to be the deep, life-giving relationships that you have created us to enjoy. And at the end of the day, I pray, Father, that we would enjoy our relationship with you above any other relationship that we might have, because you are so good, you are so faithful, you are so loving, kind, and patient to us in Christ. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. So this ministry and our mission of sharing good news every week is only possible through your partnership in the gospel. So today, if you'd like to give any amount to support this ministry, please go to appletongospel.com/give. And thank you so much to those of you who are able to give today. Let me close with the blessing that we sung earlier. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. I love you all. You are not alone. We'll see you next time.